Lutheran Radio UK presents Love Letters, a study on the Apostle Paul's Epistle to the Romans with Pastor Arno Bessel.
Letters, love letters. My name is Arno Bessel, pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. It's a pleasure to have you listening to Lutheran Radio UK. In our first study, we have given a general overview of the letter of Paul written to the Romans. Today we would like to explore the first part of this letter. I'm sure the love and comfort which come from Jesus Christ will touch you. I don't know about you, but I have moved with my family several times over the years due to my pastoral work. Moving can be an exhausting experience because there are so many things to sort out. However, it is a good opportunity to go through the stuff one has accumulated, make a careful selection, and get rid of useless things. Piles of papers will certainly be reduced to a minimum. Although I have thrown out lots of paper, one thing has always been special to my wife and to me: love letters. In the late 1970s, when we started to date, the basic means of communication was writing letters. There were no mobile phones available, hardly a landline. There was no emailing, no chance to chat on the internet, and all the other means which make communication so swift and easy today. In those days, when my current wife and I fell in love, the chances to meet face to face were equally rare. So we wrote and exchanged letters expressing our feelings, our dreams for the future, our plans to meet, and so forth. Well, these letters we have carefully kept as we moved from one place to another, and occasionally we read them. Love letters worthy to be kept and treasured. You know, in the New Testament of the Bible, there are several love letters which survive the centuries. They have been carefully preserved and are easily accessible to us today. One of these love letters is the one written by the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Rome. It tells us about God's incredible and enduring love for you and for me. Bear with us as we read and reflect on this letter. Listen to the greeting of Paul's letter recorded in chapter 1, verses 1 to 7.
Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
In ancient times, writers put their names at the beginning of letters for the convenience of the addressees, since letters were written on scrolls. In the present case, the writer identifies himself as Paul.
Who is this writer called Paul?
Formerly, this Jewish man, educated in top Jewish schools, persecuted Christians and tried to root out the Christian faith. But then Jesus Christ met him and turned his life completely around. Paul is now a servant of Christ Jesus. He does not claim to be a ruler, a man in a high position, or a celebrity who expects to be served by others. Paul is a servant, one who belongs to Christ and lives to serve him. He had been called to be an apostle, a messenger of good news. Paul did not appoint himself. God called him to proclaim the gospel everywhere. God set him apart, that is, consecrated and chose him to proclaim the gospel of salvation through faith in Christ.
Who is this Christ Paul is proclaiming?
He is the Messiah promised in Old Testament times and sent by God into the world to be the Savior of humankind. Christ is the Son of God, born of a woman. He is human in the sense that through his mother Mary, he was a descendant of King David. At the same time, Christ is the Son of God, holy, with no sin, righteous, the full expression of love, appointed for a unique office to die for sinners on a cross. Nonetheless, Jesus Christ did not remain dead. On the contrary, he was raised from the grave and, through his resurrection, proved to be very God who defeated death, sin, Satan, and hell. In this Christ Paul believed. This Christ saved Paul and called him into service to share the good news of God's love among all the nations, including the people of Rome, you and me.
To whom did Paul address his letter?
Paul wrote the letter around the year AD 57, while he was in the city of Corinth, in Greece. So the original recipients of the letter were the people of the church at Rome, who were mainly non-Jews. However, Jews must have been a significant minority of the congregation in Rome. The apostle addresses them in this way: to those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. God loved the people of Rome and loves all people today. He loves you and me. In his love, God calls people to be saints.
Wait a minute. Is there any saints in the world, taking into account so many evil things people do?
Right. There is no saint in the sense of being blameless or without fault. All people fail, and therefore no one can be classified as a saint. However, since God loves sinners, he declares them holy and blameless because of Christ's saving work. Scriptures say, "The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." Believers are made holy and blameless through faith in Christ Jesus. That means sinners are saints in the sense that God sees them through the eyes of Jesus who purifies them. What an honor being called by God to be a saint.
How does Paul close his greeting?
He closes his greeting with the words, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Instead of wishing good luck, prosperity, and lots of fun to his readers, he pronounces on them God's blessing of grace and peace. Wonderful. We will be back after a short break. Please stay with us.
Let's find out why people go to Bible studies.
To understand more of God's teachings.
Every time I learn something new, because on my own I couldn't understand everything.
I like it when the pastor explains the context. I find it really informative.
They help me understand what Jesus really meant.
Pastor, why are Bible studies important?
Bible studies are very important in the life of a congregation, indeed in the life of a Christian. As we study, reflect, and discuss God's Word, what it means and what it means for us today, we grow in faith and understanding of what discipleship with Jesus is all about. And all this in the company of brothers and sisters in Christ. Bible studies are worth it.
Through the study of the Bible, God provides comfort and guidance for life. Go to Lutheran.co.uk to find the Lutheran church that is closest to you and join your local Lutheran Bible study group.
If you would like to know more about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, then visit our website, www.lutheran.co.uk. On our comprehensive website, you can learn more about us, what we believe, and where we are, with direct links to all our congregations in England, Wales and Scotland. We offer a schedule of all the activities that we're engaged with and which you can attend to get to know more about our Lord Jesus Christ. Should you be interested, you can also find out more about Lutheran theology and Westfield House, the Theological College of the ELCE. If you would like to support our work, you can use our secured link. Visit www.lutheran.co.uk. ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. We hope that you are enjoying our program because it's all about Christ and to all God's people.
Welcome back to Love Letters. You're listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I'm Arno Bessel, pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. We are reflecting on Paul's letter to the Romans and have seen how Paul identifies himself, how he identifies Jesus Christ, and how he greets the readers.
After the greeting, what does Paul say in his letter to the Romans?
He writes in chapter 1, verses 8 to 15.
First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you, also who are in Rome.
It is quite common in the letters of Paul to give thanks to God for the readers and to pray for them. What does Paul give thanks for?
He does not give thanks because his readers are in great number or rich. He does not give thanks for what they have done. Paul thanks God for the faith in Christ Jesus his readers expressed. Faith is a gift of God, granted through the hearing of the gospel. The Holy Spirit works through the gospel and creates faith in unbelieving hearts. You may not be rich or powerful or famous, but if you have been given faith, you have got the most precious gift. The news about the faith of the Christians in Rome spread every place where the gospel had been preached. Paul heard about the extraordinary faith of the Christians in Rome, but he never had had the chance to meet them face to face. So he wants to visit them, to know them personally, to embrace each and every one, to strengthen and encourage them.
Many people wish to visit certain places, close or afar, where they have never been before. Some people even prepare a list of places to go to and make plans to spend their holidays there. However, for several reasons, not always our dreams come true. We wish, we plan, and some of our wishes and plans are fulfilled, whereas others are not. Why did Paul want so eagerly to go to Rome?
Paul's plans to go to Rome had not materialized till that point in time, but he kept hoping. I long to see you, Paul writes to the Romans. Paul wanted eagerly to go to Rome, not because it was one of the most powerful and famous cities in the world, not because he wanted to visit historical monuments, not because he wanted to do some extravagant shopping. No, these were not the reasons why Paul longed to go to Rome. His purposes were much higher. One of Paul's purposes to visit the Romans was to impart to them some spiritual gift to strengthen them and to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. the apostle does not identify specific gifts, but is sure that God will bless the Romans. Encouragement was also necessary both for Paul in his challenging work and for his readers who faced all kinds of difficulties. All of us need blessings from God and mutual encouragement, don't we?
Was there any other purpose for Paul longing to go to Rome?
Yes. He aimed to share the good news of God's love with all the people of Rome. Christ had called Paul to serve people of any background, of any nationality, well-educated and less educated people, without discrimination.
Would Paul not be ashamed of speaking about Jesus to the Romans?
By no means. Listen what he says in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith.
Surprisingly, it seems the apostle counted on a powerful tool.
Exactly. God gave Paul a great tool to work with, the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. In our day and age, people use atomic power and all sorts of explosives mainly to destroy buildings and, sadly, to destroy human lives. The gospel, however, is the power of God for salvation. The gospel is not simply words. Rather, it has an inbuilt divine power, the power of Almighty God, capable to melt the hearts of human beings who oppose God, capable of extinguishing unbelief and replacing it by true faith in Jesus Christ. Till this day, the gospel is the power that can create faith in the heart of anyone who hears it.
From what has been said, it seems that faith is an important element in Christianity. Is it?
It surely is. We said earlier in this study, faith is a gift of God created by the gospel, and faith receives the blessings offered in the gospel. Faith that clings to Christ makes us right with God. Faith connects us to Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Faith receives from Christ forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with God. Faith receives the salvation Jesus earned for sinners when he gave up his life on the cross. Consequently, the one who is righteous by faith shall live.
Could you please put this in other words?
Certainly. Let me quote from the Lutheran Confessions. They say, "The righteousness of faith is nothing else than the forgiveness of sins and the gracious adoption of the poor sinner for the sake of Christ's obedience and merit alone."
It seems that there is much food for thought in expressions like righteousness, unrighteousness, faith, grace, law, gospel, and so forth. Will there be any other opportunity to develop these concepts?
Yes. Paul deals with these issues at length in the following chapters of his letter. We shall return to these themes in the next studies. Let me just add this. Many of us have at times been embarrassed about our faith or have hidden our Christian identity. We have yielded to the world's pressures and may have been ashamed of our Savior. But He is not ashamed of us. He bore our sin, guilt, and shame on the cross and gives us His life and forgiveness. Receiving those gifts by faith and empowered by the Spirit, we are no longer ashamed of the gospel. We know it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. My name is Arno Bessel. I'm pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. We will be back at the same time next week to continue reflecting on love letters. please stay tuned in to Lutheran Radio UK and enjoy the next program. God bless and keep you.